Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, August 23rd, 2021. The Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced, and they are trying to silence us. Over the weekend, end of last week, over the weekend, a good friend of the show, a friend of mine, Owen Schroyer, arrest warrant out for Owen Schroyer. What was his crime? A federal arrest warrant. What's his crime? Reporting from the outside of the Capitol on January 6th. Folks, they're coming for us. You will recall on January 6th, we had sent some people to the Capitol building and actually covered the... Let me correct that. We didn't send anyone. We covered those people reporting to us at the Capitol building, standing, you know, arm's length from Owen Schroyer, basically. Now, of course, Owen Schroyer is, there's a warrant out for his arrest, or there was, and, of course, he had until this morning to turn himself in to the federal authorities. That this is the new America. And I open the program with this because our freedoms, right now, our freedoms are being taken away from us in a number of ways. Of course, we saw the FDA approval of the Pfizer, I hate to even call it a vaccine. It's not a vaccine, but we saw that happen today. We're seeing things happening domestically that are just absolutely Orwellian. We're seeing seeing things happening on the world stage, again, Orwellian, dystopian, with Afghanistan. We're seeing a Mr. Marbles, the resident in chief there, Joe I won't say what I was going to say, but Biden and Harris, of course, supposedly running things. No, they're not running things. It's interesting because I'm a big picture kind of guy, and looking back at 50 years ago. In fact, American Thinker just published an article by Janet Levy. None dare call it conspiracy, and she writes that 50 years ago, journalist Gary Allen set out to write a book to prove conservative anti-communists wrong. But when he was researching this book, he realized he had not seen the hidden picture. There indeed was a conspiracy shielded by a narrative advanced by liberal academia and the mainstream media. And this is not new to any of you listening, of course, and viewing and watching this. Both actually in the service of an elite cabal that at that time included Rockefeller, Ford, Morgan, Rothschild, Loeb, Kennedy, and Carnegie. She writes that no longer willing to dismiss right-wing conspiracy theorists, he titled his book, published in 1971, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Surprisingly, it was a bestseller. More than 4 million copies were sold during the 1972 presidential elections. And many people had received that book as gifts through an informal grassroots distribution system. Now, what Allen claimed to have discovered was that a plutocracy of 3% of the population covertly controlled the lives of the rest. Now, that same plutocracy exists today. Maybe it's 1%, but it's still there. They had wrested control of the Constitutional Republic with its separation of powers, limited government, and competitive free enterprise, and turned it into a system of centralized control by a few. Isn't that what we're seeing today? You've got big pharma. You've got big tech. And you've got this government that is really made up of private interests controlling everything. Now, according to Allen, though, the conspiratorial clique was hidden and protected by a complicit media that they own and control. Isn't that what we're seeing today? Follow the ownership of the media. If you want to know who controls you, find out who you are not allowed to criticize. Well, writes Janet Levy from American Thinker. How is this achieved? This centralization, the system of centralization, how is this achieved? According to Allen, this conspiratorial clique was hidden and protected by a complicit media established. Again, this complicit media establishment that they own and control. But they're accomplished liars and far-seeing planners. So what we're seeing today, as you know, was set in motion many, 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 many years ago, decades ago, centuries ago. And you know, people say, look, communism is the goal here for America. Socialism is the stepping stone for communism, and communism is the goal. I used to believe that, but I don't believe that anymore. I believe communism is not the ultimate goal. It's the Luciferian control of the one world order that is the goal, which is why we have Steve Quayle on to talk about biblical issues and scriptures, and Pastor Langford, who is going to be on this week. Pastor Langford is going to be on this week with a special message, yes, of hope. But back to the article, Allen offers an alternative realistic definition of communism. And again, communism is a stepping stone here. It's kind of it would be like the, as you walk up the stairs and you have a landing and then a few more stairs to go. Communism is that landing. But according to Gary Allen, the realistic definition of communism, again, 50 years ago, an international conspiratorial drive for power on part of men in high places who are willing to use any means for global conquest. Now, in the Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels said that a revolution would necessitate a temporary socialist dictatorship, which would give way to a full-on communism if three things were achieved. Number one, the elimination of private property rights. Of course, we're far on the way to that right now. And you know, Agenda 2030, the World Economic Forum, you know what they want to do. Of course, you're not going to own anything. You're going to be happy, right? And then the dissolution of the family. Well, what have we seen over the last 50 plus years? The attack against the nuclear family, the attack against the husband, the wife, and the children. What is normal, what was normal, is no longer normal. The biblical family has been destroyed, or at least the perception has, they're trying to eviscerate that perception and say, well, you know, that's one option. And the third thing, the replacement of religion with Marxist ideology. These, in fact, are exactly what academia and left-wing groups in America are pushing for today. And when Allen wrote the book, keep that up there for a minute, because I think it's important to really understand what we're dealing with here today. Again, I'm a big picture kind of guy. So I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the social communist and ultimately the Luciferian agenda. And as you go through socialism, the history of socialism from Plato to, oh my goodness, you know, Marx, Lenin, Sir Thomas More, Sir Francis Bacon, going back in time, way back in time. Lenin, Stalin. You can see that the target was to take God out of the mix. You know, people are striving for this utopia, and utopia is a very dangerous idea. It's not going to happen. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote extensively about Marxism and such, and it's interesting how Solzhenitsyn and others writing about things, and again, highlighting those three points there and the replacement of religion with Marxist ideology. You know, I find it very interesting that when I'm looking at, for example, Lenin, how Lenin worked to take out God, how Marx and Stalin worked to take out God. Stalin, his state-controlled indoctrination, how the schools, how God was taken out of the schools here in America. And it followed, a lot of it followed Lenin, Stalin. And when you look at things here in America, we're without God. Where is God in all of this? You know, speaking of Stalin, back in 1924, Lenin died. Though he and Stalin both clearly had been political opponents, Stalin doctored a fake photo and circulated it to make it look as if he and Lenin were good friends. And Stalin rewrote history. And this is an important thing, because remember the images earlier in the year. Remember those images of statues being torn down, streets renamed. Well, guess what? You see, Stalin rewrote history. He tore down statues. He renamed streets. He renamed museums and ships. And he even changed the name of St. Petersburg to Leningrad. And under Stalin's iron fist, Soviet dictatorship, privacy, non-existent. Press was censored. Free speech disappeared. This is Stalin. And I ask, what are we seeing in America today? The economy was regulated. Private industry was centralized and collectivized. Political dissent was punished. The media and entertainment were propagandized. Children's education became indoctrination. Marriage and families, they were assailed. They were subject to social engineering. And religion was suppressed. And human life was valued only by its usefulness to the Soviet society. And to stay in power, Stalin conducted purges and orchestrated famines. It resulted in an estimated 40 million deaths. Fear and food were tools of control. Think about this now. You heard on this program, Ice Age Farmer, you heard Steve Quayle, you heard others talking about the control of food. What are we seeing with Biden? What's up with Biden telling farmers to destroy their crops? If you've been paying attention, you've been seeing headlines to that effect. Stalin engineered a food shortage, folks, that killed millions of anti-Stalinist peasants. And that's kind of like you and I. There's a book by Richard Pipes. The title is Communism, A History. A History of Communism or Communism, A History. I'm not sure which, but Richard Pipes is the author. Let me quote from that. This was published back in 01. My notes are not exactly 100% here, but Richard Pipes wrote this. To break the resistance of the peasants in the Ukraine, the North Caucasus, and Kazakhstan, Stalin inflicted on these areas in 1932 and 1933 an artificial famine, shipping out all of the food from entire districts and deploying the army to prevent the starving peasants from migrating in search of nourishment. It is estimated that between 6 and 7 million people perished in this man-made catastrophe. And in this great purge in 36 and 37 and 38, Stalin executed an estimated 1.2 million Communist Party members, government officials, military leaders, peasants. For what? They were accused of being disloyal. Just even a thought of holding politically incorrect views or associating with the enemies of the people would result in a person losing their job, would result in them being arrested and executed, or being one of the 4.5 million people sentenced to gulag labor camps. Now, let me ask you a question here. With the arrest of the patriots on January 6th who went to the Capitol, and I'm not talking about the ones who did damage. I'm not talking about the provocateurs. I'm talking about the people who were just there. Again, like Owen Schroyer. What are we seeing taking place here in the larger sense? And you might say, well, wait, we've got 400 and some odd people in jail still today. And you're just talking about this with Owen. No, we've been talking about this for quite some time. It's the media who's been oppressing this information or misrepresenting this information with respect to the people who are incarcerated. But what they're doing to Owen right now is representative of the 450 people. And is this a good thing in the sense that, hey, it's going to bring additional sunlight into what's happening? No, it's not a good thing. The sunlight is necessary, but it's not about Owen. It's not about me. It's not about Eric the Tech. It's not about any one of us. It's about all of us. You know, what we're watching right now is really the steps toward a communist takeover, which will lead to the one world order, biblical antichrist takeover of the planet. And, you know, believe it or not, and folks, you know that we've been working with Russ and his team, the Shatter Unit, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. You know that we've been working with him. One of the things that I found very interesting, and Eric the Tech can chime in on this if he so chooses, the people who are victims of mind control. And there are people who are victims of mind control, whether it be by trauma, experimentation, whatever it might be, who are exploited for that purpose and used for that purpose, whether it be for satanic rituals, SRA victims or mind control victims. And none of this is conspiratorial crap. This is real. We're hearing from these victims the plans, the schemes, the plots of a biblical nature. Eric the Tech and I have been working a case, a couple of cases again with in this regard. Now, I'm not going to talk out of school about that, but it's the epicenter is in this area. Right where I sit and right where I live, right where we sit and live. And the reason I bring this up is because this ties together a lot of things: human trafficking, sexual abuse, perversions of just phenomenal perversions, But what we're seeing and what we're hearing from these very people who are involved in this, and the Patreon members have seen pictures. I've showed two Patreon meetings ago, I showed photographs of evidence. I'm not going to show them again. Did I not show that evidence? The robes confiscated, the daggers confiscated. Bring in the receipts, folks. But one thing we're hearing right now, and Eric the Tech, you can chime in on this. It seems as if they, the victims, as well as the participants of these rituals, are talking about what? Global domination. Nazis. The Nazi agenda, the one world order agenda, isn't that, am I overstating that, Eric the Tech? Is that what you're seeing?
Yep.
As always, you're pretty verbose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But yes.
Did it freak you out?
It is freaky.
Yeah. It brings it home. To me, it brings it home. Because when I look at the larger picture, and if I, okay, if I'm sitting across from someone and they are telling me that it's their objective to be part of bringing the world to Satan. First of all, you know, are they nuts? No. Are they mentally ill? I don't think that's the right characterization. I don't think that's a proper characterization. Are they victims of mind control and early age trauma and abuse and exploitation by our government? Absolutely they are. You know, I made a couple of statements to Russ, and I made them to Eric the Tech, and I'm going to make them to you. And I might have said it before, but you know, I actually long for a normal homicide investigation. And that's saying a lot. When you look at, it would be too difficult and certainly inappropriate right now for me to really explain what's going on. But we're talking about, in broad strokes, we're talking about Epstein-level events in this area. And I can guarantee if they're happening in this area, they're happening in other areas. We're talking about rituals by witches. Yes, you might say, oh, gosh, that's, you know, Doug, you're off the rails now. By covens, but seriously, the very same people who prayed against President Trump are attempting to bring in this one world order. And you might be sitting back saying, well, how did you get here from Marxism and communism and all of this and the bigger picture and Owen Schroyer and even the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, the approval and such, because it's all related. It really is. It's all related. And what Janet Levy had written in American Thinker, you know, the three things that were the three goals at that time, 50 plus years ago, getting rid of the private property rights, the dissolution of the family, the replacement of religion with the Marxist ideology. Very consistent with what we're seeing today. But all of that, and she writes this, as Alan claims, is an elaborate ruse. Behind it are the super rich. And who do we see today? The super rich, the Bill Gates and the Zuckerbergs and Priscilla Chan and his wife, Chan, and the 1% that control the 99% of not just the United States, but the world. This is what we're seeing. And if, you know, I suppose if I was, 10 years ago, if I was going to have a discussion with me 10 years ago, this discussion, I would look at me like I was nuts. If that makes sense. But I'm telling you right now, this is what's happening. And the currency of the rich, and how this relates to what Russ is doing, the currency of the rich is children. The currency of the rich is the blood of the innocent and the blood of children and children, which goes to human trafficking, which also explains, I might add, the porous southern border. Because it's very easy for people to come in here or to allow people to come in here undocumented, and then all of a sudden, if they're children, they could be disappeared for whatever reason, for whatever perverse exploits are needed. And this is happening. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm overstating this issue, because I'm not. And it's as difficult as it is to believe. You know, there's a case we're working right now. And you can see it in Russ Dizdar's Preemptor. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, sign up for Russ Dizdar's Preemptor newsletter. Let me see if I can pull this up here, because this is important. I know I can here. I know I can. Here's what he had written. He said this. He said, big letters, updates coming on cases, abducted child and or missing. He writes, thank you for the prayers for this last weekend. The SIIU core team won, and great friends are back plotting a more extensive intervention investigation trip up to my area, up to this area. And thank you, Eric, for putting it up there. Again, sign up for that Preemptor news, the newsletter. Last weekend, he writes, we work with a high-level but dear SRA person who are trying to get out. We know that a ritual was disrupted and a coven member ended up in the ICU. Sites of child trafficking were located. Major plans from our team meeting on Sunday with major plan. Let's see here. I'm sorry. Major plans. Extensive plans are being laid out for action. More updates, pictures, etc. will come. And he writes this. Notice we have a pair of children's shoes, possibly from a 3 to 4 year old Hispanic child who has been abducted. And he pleads in this newsletter, if you know of a Hispanic community from the border of Ohio through the north to Lake Erie and really to the to western New York, who is acknowledging a missing child, contact Russ immediately. What's that all about? And wouldn't you think, for example, that if someone is missing, if a child is missing, that they would, that somebody would know? Not in today's environment. See, and my wife had the same question. Well, wouldn't there be a missing persons report? No. And this is what this is an exploit of the southern border crisis, especially the southern border, where you've got children coming in undocumented, illegally, being sent or being handled by Catholic Charities, by the Benedictines, by other NGOs, 501c3 corporations that are making a lot of money per capita. And they're losing track of these children, and as well as the parents, illegally here. And if they can't be found, oh well. A lot of them are being trafficked. A lot of them are being ritualistic killed. And if that turns you off, if you're saying, man, you really jumped the tracks on that one. Hey, I'm telling you right now, I've seen it with my own, not the rituals, but I've seen the evidence with my own eyes. I've showed the evidence in our Patreon meeting. And again, this is happening, and it's happening at the hands of the super rich, at the 1%. This, again, it's the currency of the super rich. All right. All right. Now, let's see here. If you hear a crying baby in the background, I apologize because my, I got some visitors to the studio tonight. So, but anyway, having said that, all right. Don't let that distract you. So this is where we're at right now. We're seeing, again, we're seeing, we're seeing unbelievable things happen here in America. Things that we never thought would happen. The perversity, the transgender movement, the, which again is an exploitation of the mentally ill, in my view. How all of these things fit together, the attack on the nuclear biblical family. And then you've got transgender. You've got guys, we can be pregnant. We can get periods. And pushing medical castration on children. Just the entirety of this. And this is happening all across the world. The entirety of this is, it's a sick, again, satanic agenda. I was doing some scanning of some photographs and some documentation, case logs, and I saw some information from Amsterdam. This actual cases. Eric Technos, this and the stuff that's going on in Amsterdam, even 20 years ago and 10 years ago, and it's just incredible. The child trafficking, the human trafficking that's taking place. But I digress. All right. But some of the more focused or some of the more precise news, again, the Pfizer vax, full approval today. If you want to put that page up today, the full approval of the Pfizer jab. There it is. Citizen Free Press reporting on this. Alert: Pfizer vaccine receives full FDA approval. Again, these are not vaccines. And if you look at that photograph done for, obviously, well, you can see the photograph. If you're listening to this on Global Star, thank you so much. You can go to HagmanReport.com, click in, and of course, look at the video. But it's interesting because the COVID-19 survival rates, 0 to 19 years, 99.997%, 20 to 49 years, 99.98%. Well, you get the idea. You can read it for yourself. But the FDA issued a full approval today for Pfizer. Today. It was granted FDA emergency use authorization last December. Now it's going to be marketed under the name, I can't pronounce that name. Eric the Tech, any help on that? Comirnaty for Americans, whatever this. Americans 16 years or older. And you can read the article yourself, but who knew this was coming? And I spoke with a physician who said, you know, I can't imagine them actually approving any of these toxic jabs. And the reason, of course, is because of the liability factor. And my response was, I agree with you, unless they change the rules. Maybe they're going to change the rules. Because, wait for this now.
Liability factor.
Well, of course. You know, okay, so you've got...
But that didn't exist in vaccines.
Okay, so it doesn't. Since 1986, 85, 86, 86, really. But there is still the ability to file civil suit in a kind of an end-around way once it's approved. But the approval will mark the ability for a mandate. So in other words, what couldn't be mandated under the EUA now can be mandated under the federal approval. Especially this Pfizer vax. All right. I'm going to go to clip 3 because this is so prescient in my view. with today's news. Remember, there's four companies out there, four that have created this toxic juice known as the coronavirus vaccine. And you've got everybody just pushing for, oh, you gotta get it. Well, listen to, this is clip three, Dr. Sean Brooks. Now, he's quoting Dr. Malone and others, and he brings forth a pretty stellar resume. Now, he's not a medical doctor. He's a PhD, but he's pretty well versed in this. And he's talking, and I'm not sure what the venue is, but he's talking about the dangers of the toxic brew that's in these jabs. Let's take a listen and take a look at what he's got to say. This is clip three, and this is off the, again, this is from, given the fact that Pfizer was just given FDA approval. Check this out. This is him walking up to a podium.
Brother, disappointed. My name's Dr. Sean Brooks, PhD, Oxford. I have 48 publications, including 23 books. I've studied health, medicine, anatomy, and physiology for approximately 21 years. Dr. Robert Malone, who created the messenger RNA vaccine, has said no one should ever take these jabs, ever, under any circumstance whatsoever. He created it, and he says don't ever do it. So let me explain what's going to happen to the people who have taken it. Excuse me. The people who have taken it are going to die in the next 6 months to 3 to 5 years for three reasons. Number one, you have dramatically decreased your own immune system by 35%. The first jab did it by at least 15. The second did it by 35 now. If you take any booster shot, you will die. That's it. You take a flu shot in the future, you will die. The second reason, antibody-dependent enhancement. Antibody-dependent enhancement is what is happening with these jabs with everybody who has taken them. Unless, of course, you've taken a placebo. But there's no way that you would know that. So given that fact, antibody-dependent enhancement tricks the entire body into believing that the cell that's eating the pathogen is eating it when it isn't. It ends up leading to what's called a cytokine storm, which causes organ failure. That will cause your death, and there's no stopping that. No amount of drugs will stop that. The third thing, blood clotting. Everyone who has taken the jabs is blood clotting. If you don't believe me, there's a way you can find out. Take what's called a D-dimer test. What that does is that detects blood clotting at the microscopic level. They're cutting full blood clots out of people right now. As I'm talking to you, millions have died from the jabs. In your last meeting, you advocated for people to take the jabs potentially in the future, along with wearing masks. And I heard parents say the same thing. So to the parents who are actually considering jabbing their own children, you're going to sterilize them permanently. People who have taken the jabs are sterilized. 80% of women who have been jabbed have lost their children in the first trimester. You can't have kids. You've also injected yourself with the equivalent of HIV. You can now no longer breastfeed, donate blood, donate organs, donate blood plasma, nor bone marrow. If you don't believe me, try to donate blood and blood plasma and find out what happens. You will be denied. Unless, of course, you live in California, in which case they're allowing people to donate toxic blood with spike proteins in it. The jabs create spike proteins. They're in the jabs themselves, and they create it by snapping your RNA in half. You are no longer a human anymore. You are something else, and you are susceptible to countless diseases. Now, here's what's going to happen in the future very quickly.
You have 15 seconds.
Great. I don't know what percentage of your staff has taken the jabs, but your school is going to close. You will not stay open. You will close because they will fall ill and they will die. That will happen in all of your buildings. It will have. It's already happening.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
I bet it is. Thanks. It's already happening. Sure. Good luck, because nothing can stop what's
thank
coming.
You, sir.
Now, you know, look, I don't know if that is the case. All right, I what he said, the stats and all of that, I can't verify that. I do know that this video is going viral, of course, as you saw in the headline, viral video. But here's what I do know. I've had two separate physicians, two, from different parts of the country call me and say, hey, I've got X number of patients. One physician had 12. The other physician had 7. Okay, so a total of 19 patients that tested positive for the coronavirus or received the jab, whether regardless of what vaccine. In fact, all four were represented in the 19 people that I'm talking about. Now, although discouraged from conducting D-dimer tests, which apparently are expensive, I don't know. Here's the information I got. Doctor number one with the 12. All 12 had elevated D-dimer levels. Again, that goes for clotting problems, issues. Microclots, clots in the lungs, clots in the heart, clots where they shouldn't be. Now, these were in the 12 were older than 50. That's, and I think the mean age was around 62, 63. All right. Now, the 7 over here in another part of the country, they too had elevated D-dimer levels indicating microclots. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means it ain't good. That's for sure. Now, this to me is, I suppose if you look at this, this would be anecdotal evidence, certainly not evidence that has been, you know, can it be used? I suppose it could if the D-dimer test results were published and were associated with each patient. Of course, that's not going to happen. But the interesting part, too, was the fact that the hospital administrators, upon admission, discouraged D-dimer tests to be done. Don't do the D-dimer tests. They're unnecessary, they're expensive, costly, whatever. Don't do them. And once they were done, and I'm talking about the 12 over here, once they were done, well, you know, let's not, we don't have to really report this as an adverse side effect to the inoculation or the jab, right? We don't have to do that. We're not going to do that. We don't know the cause. We don't know the reason. And to me, that to me is extremely disingenuous. So that just goes more to what this gentleman said. Conservative Treehouse. It's interesting, too, the trials leading up to this. A conservative treehouse reported this today. With Pfizer likely to get FDA approval, and they did, it's worth remembering that Pfizer and Moderna lost the clinical trial control group testing vaccine efficacy and safety. So this is stuff that we already know, but the mainstream media is not reporting on. And if you try to report this on social media, you get banned. And if you try to talk to your family and friends about this or a pharmacist about this, oh, more on that later, you will, yeah, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to work very well. But again, Sundance wrote this, and my hat tip to Sundance and Conservative Treehouse. According to the New York Times and multimedia outlets, Pfizer expected to get full FDA approval today. They did. So the move would make it the first COVID vaccine to go from emergency use authorization to full FDA approval. All right. But here's the key issue here. And you can see this on your screen. With that in mind, it's worth a reminder that both Pfizer and Moderna stopped the clinical trials that the FDA was using in their review. Did you hear what I just said? Pfizer and Moderna stopped the clinical trials the FDA was using in their review. Continuing, the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine tests were conducted as customary with a control group, a group within the trial who were given a placebo and not the test vaccine. However, and this is a big however, during the trial and after the untested vaccines were given emergency authorization, These vaccine companies conducting the trial decided to break protocol and notify the control group that they were not vaccinated. Almost all the control group were then given the vaccine. And again, when I say vaccine, please understand I'm talking about a not a vaccine, because this can't be described. So anyway, the money statement here, purposely dissolving the placebo group violates the scientific purpose to test whether the vaccine has any efficacy. In other words, does it make a flipping difference? Does it have any actual benefit, or does it have any safety issues? Because without a control group, there's nothing to compare the vaccinated group against. And according to NPR, the doctors lost the control group in the Johnson County clinical trial on purpose. Why? On purpose. That's even highlighted, bolded in the article. Let me say that one more time. According to NPR, the doctors lost the control group in the Johnson County clinical trial in Lexington, Kansas, on purpose. Dr. Carlos Fierro, who runs the study there, says every participant was called back after the FDA authorized the vaccine. During that visit, we discussed the options, which included staying in the study without the vaccine. And amazingly, there were people, a couple of people, who chose that. He suspects those individuals got spooked by rumors about the vaccine, but everyone else who had the placebo shot went ahead and got the actual vaccine. So now, Fierro has essentially no comparison group left for the ongoing study. Okay. What does that all mean? They're screwing with the numbers. They're screwing with the numbers. But, hang on. Hold the phone. See if you ask questions or if you say, wait a second. We're free people, especially in America, but also in Australia. Aussies, I love you. Hey, I'll tell you what, my kid Yowie, thank you. Love the coffee cups. Love the coats. And, I've got that little statue on my desk. Thank you. So we've got a great listener base in Australia, some good friends down there. But the article below that on Conservative Treehouse caught my attention too. Think about this. The Australian police are beating more people in the streets than the Taliban. The Taliban are beating fewer people in Afghanistan than the police are in Australia. What? You see, the events surrounding the coronavirus mitigation in Australia and New Zealand continue to astound me, writes Sundance. The last several days in several provinces have shown brutal conduct and physical attacks by police, riot units, and military deployments against the citizens within their respective regions. And all of this is why. Why? Why are they getting beat? All of this activity is because citizens are demanding an end to the lockdowns that have gone well beyond reasonable efforts to mitigate this virus. So you know it's not about a virus. It's about total control of the people. And there's a photograph or picture. If you scroll down on that, if you're looking at this, there it is. And those people holding the signs and who dare to say this isn't about a virus, it's about total government control of the people, get the snot beat out of them. And thousands of people have been arrested, jailed, and fined as the government shows a total disconnect from reality of the virus. Beating citizens brutally in the streets in the name of public health, it's factually and literally absurd. But it's happening in Australia, and you know what? It's already happened in the United States, and it's going to continue to happen. You will comply, you peasants. We know better than you. And if you don't comply, we're going to put you in re-education camps. Oh, wait a second. That's hyperbole. Look, the CDC already published health guidance about the re-education care, or about the camps, about the COVID camps. or whatever else they need them for. But we're going to go to clip four because I like clip four. Clip four, you know, people talk about the Nuremberg Code and, oh, that's just, again, you're overstating things. No. What happened during the Nazi era? You know, it's fun. It's really not funny in a humorous way, but ironically, it's funny, isn't it, that we talk about this global governance. We talk about satanic ritual abuse, how it conforms to the Nazi agenda, the Nazis. I won't get too deep into that, but for total global control, what did the Nazis do back in Nazi Germany? You know what they did, but as a result of what they did, Mengele and others, what they did, there came about a Nuremberg Code. Nuremberg Code is a violation of Nuremberg Code is punishable by death. Let's go to clip four and take a look at this.
Are the petty tyrants who have recklessly mandated vaccines while refusing non-vaccinated people food, employment, and basic freedom of choice violating the internationally recognized Nuremberg Code, which is punishable by death? Yes. Yes, they are.
I will not bow. I will not surrender to this tyrant over this issue. I am not a slave. I am a free American. I have the Nuremberg Code and the Constitution behind me.
In fact, they are violating the set of research ethics principles for human experimentation created by the USA versus Brandt Court as one result of the Nuremberg trials at the end of the Second World War with abandon.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a 5-year penalty for lying to Congress. You stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress.
Now they want you to show a vaccine card. Good morning. And if you got caught with someone eating at your restaurant without a vaccine card, $1,000. Two times, $2,000. How do you feel about that?
I feel that my liberties have been taken away from me.
Nurses from Dignity Health took to the streets Friday to protest the California COVID-19 vaccine mandate. The mandate, announced August 5th, requires all healthcare workers in California to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 by September 30th. Otherwise, they will lose their jobs.
Any establishment that serves food or drinks like restaurants, bars, and clubs, theaters, as well as entertainment venues will require that vaccination. And gyms like this one, as well as dance studios, also included those large event at those indoor venues.
The beginning of the Nuremberg Code reads, "The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential." This means that the person involved should have legal capacity to give consent, should be so situated as to be able to exercise free power of choice without the intervention of any element of force, fraud, deceit, duress, overreaching, or other ulterior form of constraint or coercion, and should have sufficient knowledge and comprehension of the elements of the subject matter involved as to enable him to make an understanding and enlightened decision. An experiment is defined as a test, trial, or tentative procedure, an act or operation for the purpose of discovering something unknown. So far, 237 candidate vaccines against SARS-CoV-2 are in development worldwide, of which 63 have been approved for clinical trials and 27 are evaluated in Phase 3 clinical trials. 6 candidate vaccines have been authorized for emergency use based on their efficacy data in Phase 3 trials. The FDA's emergency authorization of the ineffective vaccine describes emergency approval as a mechanism to facilitate the availability and use of medical countermeasures, including vaccines, during public health emergencies, such as the current COVID-19 pandemic, and an emergency to diagnose, treat, or prevent serious or life-threatening diseases when certain statutory criteria have been met, including that there are no adequate, approved, and available alternatives. There are a myriad of early treatment alternatives that could have already saved thousands of lives had the doctors promoting them not been censored by Silicon Valley, which allowed politicians to pretend they were licensed in the Hippocratic Oath.
You had a first shot and got away with it. Thank God, thank the Lord, but don't take the second shot. Because when you take the second shot, you are going to be asking for big trouble. Why? Because now out come the spikes. Now the antibodies are there, as we know. Then the complement system has no other way. It has no choice. It has no brain. It's going to riddle this vessel with holes.
Natural immunity is much stronger and much broader and much deeper and much longer lasting than vaccine immunity. And we have over and over now data showing how long natural immunity, having had COVID immunity, survives and lasts compared to the 3 to 5 or 6 months of vaccine immunity before you need booster after booster after booster.
I want to show you a couple of these and tell you that your biggest red flag for propaganda from public health is experts say. They're not saying the data shows. They're not saying the study shows. They say experts say. I've already had COVID-19, so I don't need to be vaccinated. This is a myth, according to public health. Doctors know this is a fact. We have a broad and durable immune response to COVID, and there are multiple studies that document that we do not need to be vaccinated. And yet we have these statements. You should still get vaccinated, health experts say.
While it may appear that the vaccine mandates are the only answer to a SARS coronavirus with strong ties to a lab in Wuhan, China, through the face of the rollout, Dr. Fauci, and a pre-planned readiness by the United Nations corporate industrial complex, is the FDA destroying its credibility approving the Pfizer vaccine, which has 42% efficacy, an experiment that will now carry the full weight of the FDA's approval? Every American household should have early treatment readily available instead of being forced into being vaccine guinea pigs. John Bound reporting.
I believe we're already halfway into this insane.
All right. That was John Bound from Band.video, InfoWars. He always does a great job on these reports. And talking about the violation of the Nuremberg Code, I'm going to be getting more into that here in the second half of the program, and especially about how all of this ties together. But before I do, you know, right now, what are we seeing today in the marketplace right now, in the business world right now? According to Forbes, now I'm going to tell you right now, according to Forbes, gyms, nail salons, mom and pop stores, and even more businesses are set to go on this epic hiring spree in the coming months to meet the pent-up demand for all of these services. And I've seen this happen here. I can see help wanted signs everywhere. And you know, as a business owner and as business owners, I'm talking to you now, hiring can be challenging. And especially if you're looking for that qualified, quality candidate, it's not like you can just pick someone off the street. So what do you do as an employer? How do you hire the best quality, best qualified candidates? ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com. And I want to thank them for being one of the sponsors of our show. You know, spas. Hey, maybe you can't wait to get a massage, but you might have to. Why? Because no one's out there to give you a massage. Gyms. Hey, want to go to the gym to boost up your body and systems? Well, guess what? Gyms are closed because the hiring part, because there's no one out there to work. Well, ZipRecruiter has come to the rescue. You know, all of the businesses I mentioned, all of them that reopening, It means that millions of jobs will need to be filled. So where do these business, where do you turn to fill the roles fast? One place, and that is ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Now, I'm talking to you business owners out there. I want to do you a favor. Seriously. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, two N's on Hagman, and you can get a qualified candidate very quickly to fill that specific position. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, they send your job to over 100 top job sites, giving you access to their network of millions of job seekers. Their matching technology scans resumes to find qualified candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. Now, according to ZipRecruiter internal data, jobs where employers invite candidates to apply get 2.5 times more candidates. I'm telling you right now, you can easily review recommended candidates, invite your top choices to apply for your job, which encourages them to apply faster. ZipRecruiter's technology is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Ugh. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Remember, 2 N's on Hagman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire. I'm telling you, they're a good company. And you know, we're seeing a resurgence of small businesses in our area, okay? That's a good thing. But we're also seeing this demand for hiring, so ZipRecruiter is important. Now, I've got one more sponsor I want to tell you about because, again, this is a really important thing. We've got to take care of our business as we go into all of the stuff I've been talking about. You know, aren't we having some situations where, you know, you've got to make sure you're prepared for what's coming? I think we are. Well, prepare yourselves by doing yourself a favor, and that is paying down your debt a lot quicker, all right? And if you're like most of us, and I know this from personal experience, you carry a balance on your credit cards. And if those cards come with high interest rates, you need my friends at Lightstream. Lightstream, it's a great company. They've helped out a lot of my family, a lot of my friends. Lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 5.93% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. And Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. You can get a loan from anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees, and you can get your money in the same day that you apply. Now, here's what you need to do. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it for you, LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, 2 N's on Hagman. This is subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% all-pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You'll thank me later. Business owners, consumers, I mean, hey, there it is right there. The full boat. You'll thank me later. I'm serious. So you saw that Nuremberg video by John Baum. You saw that, right? I want you to think about this, because all of this is connected. Everything we're seeing is connected. Remember universal health care. Health care for everyone. You know, I mentioned Nazi Germany, Hitler swayed the public with his mesmerizing speeches, right? Just like Mr. Marbles today. No, I'm kidding. But he began implementing a plan for a free for free health care for all with no regard for conscience. Now, I'm going to take you to a New York Times article of October 10th, 1933. You got me? You picking this up? New York Times, October 10th, 1933. Listen to what they wrote. Nazi plan to kill incurables. And in the back of your mind, think of what you heard on that last video clip, and think of what you heard about the video clip before that, about the inoculations, these jabs, these vaccines. Just keep all of that in mind. Again, New York Times, October 10th, 1933. The Ministry of Justice, this is the Nazi Ministry of Justice, explaining the National Socialist Workers' Party intentions to authorize physicians to end the sufferings of the incurable patient. Does that sound familiar? This is universal health care now. Remember the death panels? Oh, that's a myth. Wait a second. Is universal health care making a little bit more sense now as we see the FDA approval today? And as we see the blowback of the inoculations, the microclotting and the side effects and the all that stuff, what happens if you're permanently disabled? The Catholic newspaper Germania, back in, and this is again from the New York Times in 1933, hastened to observe the Catholic faith binds the conscience of his followers not to accept this method. In Lutheran circles, too, life is regarded as something that God alone can take. Euthanasia has become widely discussed as a widely discussed word in the Third Reich. No life still valuable to the state will be wantonly destroyed. So, a healthcare crisis, think about this now, can be particularly effective, a very effective opportunity, that is, to demand citizens give up their rights, as anyone voicing concern can be maligned as uncaring. Where have we heard that? Lenin. I'm going to go back to Lenin now. Socialized medicine is a keystone to the establishment of a socialist state. What does Bernie Sanders, the socialist extraordinaire, want? Socialized medicine. What are we seeing with some of the socialist communist governors of the blue states? What have we seen? Push for universal health care, socialized medicine. But it goes beyond that. It goes far beyond that. Reagan was against this. In 1961, Reagan spoke out against socialized medicine, and this is what he said. Reagan, 1961. One of the traditional methods of empowering or imposing statism or socialism on people has been by way of medicine. Huh. I wonder if he knew something we didn't. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. We want no further encroachment on these individual liberties and freedoms. We don't want socialized medicine. No, we don't want socialized medicine. And he said, if you don't stop this push for socialized medicine, not paraphrasing, I promise you it will pass, and behind it will come other federal programs that will invade every area of your freedom, as we have known, every area of freedom as we have known, until one day we will awake to find that we have socialism. And I would argue that now we awake to find that we have almost full-blown communism in this country by the left. And by that 1% who the left appears to just embrace and adore. When you go back to Nazi Germany, just again, you got to know history. The economy struggled when Nazi Germany when their economy struggled, people had to cut expenses, didn't they? The cost of keeping alive a handicapped or a chronically ill person in Nazi Germany, or and you all know people perhaps with Alzheimer's, dementia, the elderly, they were considered undesirables. They were considered unworthy of life, and they were terminated. And then after that, the criminals, the convicts, the street bums, the beggars, welfare dependents were exterminated. They were considered useless eaters and leeches on society and were sent to the gas chambers. That's right. But you know something, and here's what I really want you to really kind of consider. Germany's utilitarian philosophy was influenced by American left, the American left. Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. decided to play God back in 1927. I'm going to give you the case name, Buck v. Bell. Oliver Wendell Holmes, 1927, Buck v. Bell. In that decision, for the protection and health of the state, do you hear what I just said? Oliver Wendell Holmes writing this majority decision, Buck v. Bell. For the protection and health of the state, those deemed intellectually disabled should be forcibly sterilized by the government. And you know what else he said? Three generations of imbeciles are enough. I'm not kidding you. Founder of Planned Parenthood, you know who that is, Margaret Sanger. That's the heroine of Hillary, Diane Rodham, the Yak Clinton. With a grant from Rockefeller Foundation, ringing any bells here? Names. Organized the World Population Conference back in 1927. And you might think, well, what does this have to do with today? This is the groundwork for everything that we're seeing today. But the Nuremberg trials, let's advance to the Nuremberg trials. Because that video you watched addressed the Nuremberg trials. After World War II ended, officials of the Nazi Party, the National Socialist Workers Party, they were arrested and put on trial for killing millions of Jews and others during the Holocaust. Christians, gypsies, Jews, the infirm, you got the list. Well, at these Nuremberg trials in 1945 and 1946, on full display was the socialist idea that the rights come from the group, not from God. The rights come from the state, not from God. The Nazis, they defended their actions by explaining, hey, we're only following the laws agreed upon by the people of Germany. We're only following orders. There was an insight into that mindset, the perpetrator's mindset. And that was given by a guy by the name of General Hans Frank. Again, you got to know history, or at least have a handle on it. He carried out orders to plunder Poland, commit the mass murder of millions of Poles and Jews in death camps. That's who Hans Frank was. And after the war, Hans Frank, he was tried and he was executed. He got what was coming to him. But during his final confinement, he was visited by Father O'Connor, who led him to repent, believe in the atonement of Christ for his sins. Okay. And he became a Catholic, but he reportedly gave his life to God. At his trial, It was August 31st, 1945. You know, here we are in August of 2021. What have we learned? But August 31st, 1945, Hans Frank, he expressed remorse as he described the false justification for his acts and the slippery slope of his socialist thought. Now, I'm not going to read the entire speech, okay? But he said some pretty profound things for being a killer, a mass murderer, and a Nazi. He said, at the beginning of our way, we did not suspect that our turning away from God could have such disastrous, deadly consequences, and that we would necessarily become more and more deeply involved in guilt. Then he goes on. He said, at that time, we could not have known that so much loyalty and willingness to sacrifice on the part of the German people could have been so badly directed by us. Think about what's happening today. Why are you being told to get the jab? It's for the greater good, because you, the jab-free, the unvaccinated, remember, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, are presenting a health risk to the collective. This is what we're fighting for. Or fighting against, I should say. But it was the turning away from God, he cites, Hans Frank cites, that really was the cause of all of this. Why did I bring this up? Why did I bring the Nuremberg trials up? Because this is all part of, again, what's going on today. And I just want to finish this segment here by saying that Hans Frank said that before all, God pronounced and executed judgment on Hitler and the system which we served with minds far from God. What's happening today? Threw God out of the schools, threw God out of everywhere, and now we're in this godless American society. Remember, attack on the family. Go back to the American Thinker article, okay? That's what we're seeing. I won't read any more or cite any more from him, except to say that what we're seeing today is when you see, you know, the Nuremberg code punishable by death, this is what we're talking about. But it all starts from a godless position, doesn't it? And how many people out there in the mainstream media are talking about this, about taking God out of the platforms and taking God out of our families and the assault on our spirituality as Christians? And this is really what's causing all of this. They can't have God. We can't have God in our society. And again, I'll have Pastor Langford on this week. Looking forward to that. To give you both a segment of, or a injection of truth, as well as an injection of hope. But that aside, we're seeing this push toward trusting science. Oh, we got to trust science. And what does science say? Well, you've got to get jabbed. Well, wait a second, really? Is that what science is really saying? Or is that what your science is saying? And what do you mean by your science? The science that is absent of facts or actually propelled by this godless agenda, this 1%. Those people who traffic in the currency of the elite, the blood of the children and the blood of innocence. What are we getting? Let me bring you back down to ground here, ground level. Let's talk about the jabs. Since the FDA approval today of Pfizer's jab, let's talk about this at a more granular level. What's going on with these jabs? Let's go to clip two. This is from the War Room, clip two. This is a doctor saying, hey, wait a second, there's a problem with these. We have leaky vaccines, if you want to call them vaccines. We've got leaky vaccines. This is clip two. This is from the War Room. I believe it was today, or it was within the last couple of days. If you don't believe the bigger picture, let's go to the granular level. This is about the leaky vaccines. Play clip two.
Dr. Malone, this is very important. Give us that question again to Dr. Homer.
Dr. Homer, you're a board-certified pathologist. What are these dropping titers at 6 months or before, and this is a second vaccine now that you're discussing. What do they mean?
Well, I'll tell you what, how they're going to be interpreted. They're going to be misinterpreted. They're going to be interpreted as a reason that we all need boosters. But that's not the message that we should be taking from what we're seeing. The message that we should be taking is that the eradication of the virus is not possible with these kinds of leaky vaccines. Time's going to prove that correct. We need a clear, sensible, achievable objective in this war on the pandemic. And until we have that, we're going to have chaos.
Real quickly, Doctor, because we're going to have you guys back on this too big a topic, particularly with FDA approval. What would be that? Do you have an idea what that strategy would be if this is not the one to pursue? What would it be?
It's the one that Dr. Tyson said. He didn't have a single death. We need to be keeping people alive. We need to be, and once you suborn vaccination and universal vaccination to the goal of keeping people alive, then it becomes a useful tool, and we can do exactly what Dr. Malone has laid out in his piece with Dr. Navarro. We can use the vaccines to protect those that are most susceptible, and we can not put pressure on this virus to mutate in the way that it's mutating right now. I mean, I think what we're seeing out of Israel is really scary. And, you know, Dr. Malone can explain about ADE in ways that I can't, but what I can do is look and see the people who were vaccinated early, those early adopters, they're not only having more infection rates, but Dr. Lewinsky even, director of CDC, said that they are having more serious disease. That's scary.
Dr. Homer, how do people get to you? Right, how do they follow you during the working
now,
week?
Now, take that for what you want. Take out of that what you want to take out of that. Of course, he's still advocating that for immunocompromised individuals. However, that's not necessarily the right thing when you watch the entire program in context, or when you put that in the context of the entire program. What I'm saying, what I'm saying to you is he's identifying, the reason I played that clip is he's identifying the fact that there's a problem with the vaccines that you and I know about. Of course we know about this, but, and it's manifesting, you can see it in Israel and other places, but the fact that the autoimmune problem is going to be such a, the autoimmune deficiency, or the attack against your own immune system is going to be such a big deal. Watch for this in the future. And those people are standing in line and saying, yay, I got my second jab, or I got my booster. Time will tell. Time will tell if this was a planned depopulation move, as some people believe, or if this was just a bad decision. And I should bring up the point. I don't know. Eric, did you happen to catch? I know you were, I'm not going to say what you're doing last week, but anyway, did you happen to catch the, Donald Trump's speech this weekend? Did you happen to catch on?
I did not.
Yeah, he urged people to get the jab, and actually, he got booed at his speech.
Yeah, I don't know what his problem is.
What in the world? Seriously, you know? Yeah, I mean, I don't know either. I can't look. I can't describe it. I mean, I can't explain it. I don't know. But he got.
Listen, I love the idea of a Trump mind.
Yeah.
But he set all this in motion, or allowed it to be set in motion.
Operation Warp Speed, right?
So what the heck?
The heck indeed. I don't know.
And he beat COVID without the vaccine.
Which brings me, thank you. Now, what a great segue. Now, let's go to clip one. Now, see, here's a situation I've been dealing with personally. And I've talked to physicians who've been dealing with this issue personally. And I've had this happen to me in the past. And I've got to tell you, all right, with few exceptions, pharmacists, in my view, in my personal opinion, are idiots. With some exceptions. I won't even say few. With some exceptions. There was a comedian who did a bit about pharmacists, you know, with a white coat and they're on a elevated platform behind a counter, you know. But boy, is that true. Have you ever gone in to pick up your prescription and been quizzed by a pharmacist? Has that ever happened to you? Pharmacists have become like Nazis. Some. Now, my current pharmacist, I got to say this. I go to a family pharmacy where they're cool. But like some of these places, Have you had this happen to you where, what do you need this for? Or, gee, that's a lot. Whatever the medication might be. I had a doctor, I went to a funeral of his family member not too long ago, and he said to me, you know, I called in a prescription for one of my patients, and the pharmacist called me and said, asked me all these questions, like, why does this person need that many? And he said the medication. I'm not going to get into the medication. And the doctor just tore this pharmacist up. When'd you get a medical degree? Where'd you get your medical degree from? I'm the doctor. I'm prescribing this. You dose it out. That's the way things work. Now you got pharmacies, okay? And this relates to what's going on today. And how many of you have had this happen of late? Now you got pharmacists. Oh, hydroxychloroquine? Uh-huh. You got malaria? You go into Saharan Africa? No? It's a prophylactic for the coronavirus? Oh, I don't think so. You can't make this stuff up. Play clip one, and this is about the pharmacist dealing with off-label medication. Go ahead.
I want to pivot back to so this is for Dr. Tyson. We have this thing. You're saying you're actually, let me get this right, Dr. Malone. You're prescribing, a physician's prescribing things for his patients, and the pharmacy is not putting these prescriptions through. Dr. Tyson, do we hear that correctly?
That's correct. And they say because there's no indication for the use of the medication, which is just baloney. We use drugs all the time off-label. Look at aspirin, for example. Can you imagine? Aspirin was a medication just used for headaches. And now it's got multi uses from coronary artery disease to stroke. And now, when we call these prescriptions in, the pharmacist will ask for the diagnosis. And if the diagnosis is COVID, a lot of these pharmacies are no longer filling the medication, saying there's no indication for it, which is the pharmacy's practicing medicine without a license instead of the physician being able to practice medicine.
Hey, I was like, that's the part of it. Is the pharmacy now getting in between the doctor? This is what I don't understand. This is so out of control.
There are multiple.
You're saying
reports.
The pharmacy is getting in between the doctor-patient relationship?
Exactly. Many, many physicians are complaining about this and experiencing it. Varies by state to state. And there's some evidence that certain pharmacy chains are enforcing these rules and others aren't.
Dr. Tyson. When you were in college and studying, wanted to be a doctor and went to medical school and your residency, did you ever think you would get to a day that you're seeing kind of this medical imperialism happen from some central command in Washington, D.C. or the CDC? Did you ever think in a million years that you would be talking about issues and dealing with issues with your patients that you're dealing with today?
No, I think I thought it was actually going to be the opposite. When we were in residency, we were told to investigate, be creative, find solutions. And that's what we did during this pandemic. We created solutions. We did our research. We started using drugs. We started using multi-treatment drugs. And we started finding success. We started reporting our success, and we got shut down. I mean, I've been banned on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram for posting videos of my success, just to be, you know, told that I'm a quack. I'm selling, you know, snake oil and some of these other things. When our proven success is 6,200 patients, 6,200 patients, and with early treatment, not one person has died. You would think that the whole country would want that.
You are what your record says you are. Dr. Tyson, how do people get to you? Hopefully you're up on Getter, but how do people get to you?
All Valley Urgent Care in El Centro or allvalleycares.com.
Thank you, brother. Really appreciate it. Let's bring in Dr. Vliet. We've had Dr. Vliet on the show many times before. Dr. Vliet, thank you very much for joining us. And Dr. Malone, take it away.
So, Dr. Vliet, over a year ago, you published an article in the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons titled, In War on COVID-19, Doctors Need Freedom to Use Weapons at Hand. And that gets right to the core of the issue. And yet here we are a year later, and physicians are still not able to practice medicine because of central edicts coming down from the CDC and the NIAID in terms of how thou shalt treat this disease. Can you walk us through where that stands right now and the logic of states having the right to regulate medicine, not the federal government?
Yes, thank you, Steve, and thank you, Dr. Malone.
This is important.
It's absolutely interference with the practice of medicine. In fact, I have spoken with pharmacies directly myself. CVS has a corporate policy to direct their pharmacists not to dispense hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin with a physician's legitimate prescription. It's unconscionable. It's an interference. It's not reasons. And it cannot continue. There are lawsuits underway
for a second.
To stop it.
Do you hear what she just said? I know it was a little difficult to hear. CVS has a corporate policy not to dispense ivermectin despite having a doctor say, give it to him. What the hell is going on here? Go ahead and continue.
Number one. Number two, we also know that state governors are still interfering with the practice of medicine, and politicians, not physicians. And so we have to be careful. Yes, states have always regulated the practice of medicine, but the Federation of State Medical Board, the central organization, is the one taking their marching order from Emperor and from the CDC and NIH to prevent doctors from practicing medicine. They are issuing directions to the state medical board who are persecuting doctors. We have many in our organization. We have many writing in to us at Truth for Health Foundation, a public charity advocating for the public good that I'm now president of and leading the fight on medical freedom and prevention of censorship. And one of the things that is happening is that this coordination of efforts, we have to remember, yes, under the 10th Amendment, it is states' rights to regulate the practice of medicine, but that is being regulated at the state level by politicians now, not by physicians, and by a coordinated effort to suppress
medical freedom. Okay, that's a little rough on the ears. You can go ahead and clear that. That's a clip, and I'll post it I'll post the link in the program description box at HagemReport.com for this episode. But you can see where this is headed, right? Hopefully, we're talking about domestic issues here, specifically the control of the populace by way of healthcare, tying the doctors, the physicians' hands behind their backs, and suddenly making the states, you know, the arbiters of your health. taking away your own health decisions. This is why it's so important that we take care of ourselves. But aside from that, you can see what's going on here, right? The left talking about, you know, Donald Trump, the Nazi Donald Trump, the Nazi right, the Nazi, it's just absolutely, you can see what's going on, right? I hope you can see now. So where is this all headed? But hold the phone. Hold the phone. We didn't get to the international stuff yet. That's coming. But before we do, I just want to mention this because we saw this happen earlier today, and this was to be expected. You saw, as soon as the FDA approved this injection, the military, the blue state governors, they're announcing vaccine mandates now. The establishment, they are, and when I say establishment, I'm talking about the communist, socialist, and ultimately for the Luciferian agenda, they wasted absolutely no time announcing vaccine mandates. Right in New York, California, hey, it was approved. It's approved. Okay, now fine. Okay, now you all must be injected. Just minutes after the FDA's announcement, just minutes, Pentagon spokesperson John Kirby said, well, all right, you in the military are either going to get the jab or you will face court-martial. Now we got teeth. The FDA gave this teeth. New York, state of New York announced this, the department, or New York's State Department of Education. It's requiring its nearly 150,000 employees and all students to get the shot with no opt-out option. None. Zero. New York City, Bill de Blasio, announced a similar requirement for city workers. And they're the first city to make it, the first city to issue a flat-out vaccine mandate. Let me tell you what Bill de Blasio said earlier today. Today, the New York City Department of Health will be issuing an order requiring all staff in the New York City public schools to be vaccinated. That's Warren Wilhelm Jr., or otherwise known as Bill de Blasio. This will require all staff, very kind, principals, teachers, custodians, food service, you name it, needs to have at least one dose by September 27th. See where this is going? Los Angeles did the same thing, essentially. Said, hey, 60,000 people that work for the city? Yep. Yep. Police, firefighters? Yep. You will, if you want to keep your job, you will get the jab. Jennifer Rubin, New York City, or Washington Post columnist. Max Boot, or CNN's guy, Max Boot. George Takei, you know, Star Trek, Sulu. George Takei, that flamer. They all took to Twitter, celebrated, of course, the FDA's approval, saying, hey, no more excuses now. Listen to Jennifer Rubin, what she wrote on Twitter. Irrational, conspiracy-prone Americans who wouldn't take the vaccine before won't do so now that the FDA has given full approval. No facts matter. What it should do, should in all caps, is increase vaccine mandates and isolate the reckless people from everyone else. You see what they're doing here? You see what they're doing here? I can go on and on and on. You think civil war is about to happen? It's already, the first shots have already been fired in the Civil War. And by shots, I'm not talking about bullets, I'm talking about injections. The Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy. What's your first name? Vivek. Maybe it's a cultural thing, I don't know. Said that once the FDA approved the shot, vaccine mandates in businesses, universities would be a very reasonable thing to do. Remember that Nuremberg film, that Nuremberg thing? I put up. I think that applies here. All right. I don't know what else to tell you, except that, and I get emails all the time from people who are saying, "Oh, I work in the healthcare field. I'm being forced to get the jab. I don't want it. There's no opt-out policy for me." I was getting them before this the FDA put their stamp of approval on it. I spoke with a physician who resigned. He said, "No, I'm not doing this anymore." Quit their practice within the healthcare system. Nurses, so many nurses, so many first responders. I'm getting emails saying, "I have to quit. I'm not going to do it." And they're forcing us into a two-tiered system here, a two-tiered society. So what are you going to do when they come for you? I think we're all about to find out what's going to happen. And it's not going to be pretty. I'm going to touch on the international news here real quick. You're not going to see this anywhere in the mainstream media in the United States, Sky News. You know, what's going on in Afghanistan is absolutely unthinkable. It's unconscionable. Biden owns this. The administration, Lloyd Austin owns this. The military leadership owns this. Watch this from Sky News, clip 5, mayhem at Kabul airport. People getting crushed. They're dehydrated and terrified. Clip 5. Go ahead. Oh, hang on 1 second here. A little too fast on the draw there. But what I'm telling you is this is all going to be playing together because dissent won't be tolerated, whether it's dissent about public policy with military policy with Afghanistan, but the Afghanistan is a bigger part too of this global governance. It's Arab Spring crushing Libya, Egypt, Syria, Afghanistan into the hands of the Taliban. This has all been planned. This is not a failure of intelligence. This is a feature. Watch what's taking place in Kabul. Here it is.
It's nothing to do with process. They're just trying to save lives.
I need a fever medic now. Sit down.
Tens of thousands are trying to get through. At the front, they're being crushed. Paratroopers pulling people from the mayhem. Medics rushing from the next casualty to the next and the next.
Roy.
Listen. Need to calm down. Calm down.
Dehydrated and terrified. The soldiers spray the crowd with a hose, anything to cool them down. Men, women, and lots of children.
Please call someone.
And then what we feared, the inevitable. Is this a stabilized withdrawal from Afghanistan? It looks like death to me. In the mayhem, units rush through the crowds to shore up weak points in the evacuation center. Everyone working flat out, trying to stem the tide of an unfolding disaster.
The problem now is not trying to control the crowds per se, it's the fact that at the front people are just getting crushed.
All right, clip 6 now. The treasonous propaganda holdouts. This also a banned video, John Bonn, I believe, video as well. And again, this has everything to do with how the media, especially that the mainstream media, is portraying what's taking place. And it's kind of, it's almost like watching the election fraud. The same thing with the election fraud. Oh, there's no election fraud. Okay. Oh, everything's being handled well in Afghanistan. It's all going according to plan. What? Well, we didn't expect this. No. Well, you know, who could have ever predicted this, right? It's not a bug. It's a feature. It's not a failure. It's a function. Go ahead and clip 6. Play clip 6.
While the Mockingbird media implodes over Biden's Afghanistan disaster.
Heard President Biden say yesterday in his comments to ABC News that this is not a failure. And I think a lot of people outside that airport, particularly those taking the kinds of extreme actions we're just talking about, would like to know, if this isn't failure, what does failure look like exactly?
Mr. Ambassador, thank you for joining me, sir. You know this territory very well. Is President Biden right on this?
The question of leaving is one thing, and that's a, you know, arguable decision. But the manner of the leaving has been an absolute disaster, totally lacking in planning, executed faster than it needed to be, and in doing so, psychologically destroyed the confidence of the Afghans.
They feel that the rug was pulled out from under them. You hear criticism from the Brits, from Germany, from France, and that is really hurting American position overseas. And these cables, the dissent memo and these cables now from the Afghan employees at the State Department we've got in the last 24 hours are devastating. We have destroyed morale.
Those addicted to the lie are dancing in the streets while thousands of Americans are trapped behind enemy lines.
And we're so tribalistic as a country, it's hard for somebody to imagine a Republican saying everybody's responsible. But let's keep in mind, Mike Pompeo met with the Taliban. As Donald Trump was publicly saying, we have to get out of Afghanistan at all costs, it's not worth it, Mike Pompeo meets with the Taliban and tries to negotiate something. By the way, they ended up getting rolled harder than almost as bad as Neville Chamberlain, because they knew what the desired outcome of the Trump administration was. So they set this up to fail.
But those who live by the propaganda will die by the propaganda, as Brian Stelter's wrongthink spectacle flipped the script on the historical disaster clinging to the radical left ideology supporting the senile Joe Biden no matter what he does.
Biden, quote, has stuck to his guns while under attack in the press, laying out a case for the limits of American military power. So, Matthew Dowd, you would describe the media's coverage this week as what?
Way over the top and unconnected to a perspective on the issue from the beginning. They've added more perspective in the final days, but from the beginning they didn't have a perspective on it. My sense of this is Joe Biden has done, we should judge it by the data of what's happened and not by anecdotes. And sometimes the president of the press has a tendency to judge things by anecdotes and not the data. And the data for the last week shows Joe Biden has basically gotten 30,000 people out of Afghanistan without a single loss of an American life.
I think that we also see why it was so hard for presidents in the past to pull out of Afghanistan. They were afraid of exactly this kind of press overreaction. There's no way to surrender, leave, withdraw, whatever you want to call it, in a war without things getting ugly. And I feel there was something Pollyannish about expecting anything different, and it disappoints me that the press is behaving in this way.
House Speaker Pelosi, who just held a maskless luncheon in Napa Valley while the servants wore masks, laughably praised Biden's undeniable debacle, writing, "I want to acknowledge the clarity of purpose of President Biden's statements and the wisdom of his actions. In the coming weeks and months, these words will come back to haunt all of them." John Bound reporting.
Did you see what he did there?
Okay, Jonah, sit here and take it.
Did you see what he did there, John Bound? Very good. And again, all of this is connected. The dream for this ideal society is not really a dream. It's an agenda. And it's the World Economic Forum agenda. It's the Luciferian agenda that we face today. That's what this is all about. And it's interesting when you look at the media, their apologies of their kid glove treatment of Joe Biden and the leftists in power. Isn't that just amazing? And of course, when you, again, I wanted to throw the, put the international stage in there, because this is not going to be without consequences. And America and Americans right now, talked about socialism before or earlier and communism and the Luciferian agenda. How all of this ties together. You know, America, when America falls, And I think we're in that position right now where people are looking at America, it's a paper tiger. When the President Trump was in office, hey, you know, at least there was this, oh my gosh, you know, okay, you know, if we don't conform to a fairer, we'll say tariffs and trade, or if we don't, look at ISIS and the Taliban, although the Trump administration were talking to the Taliban, they knew where he stood. Biden, nothing. I mean, Biden's just a straw man. I mean, he's out to lunch. Mr. Marbles is gone. I mean, he is absolutely gone. But you see you see how the media is handling all of this. Well, they're doing the same thing with the coronavirus. They're doing the same thing with the injections. So all of this is interrelated. And if you can't see what's happening, you know what? If you can't see what's happening now, how all of this is playing out before us, I don't know what to say. And I'm going to end it with this. Owen Schroyer. I started by talking about Owen Schroyer today, having to turn himself in. We're all on our own, folks. We are all on our own. Listen to what Owen Schroyer, in this, as much as we can play of this clip, listen to what Owen Schroyer has gone through. And again, the knock on the door from the FBI, the inquiries from the FBI, we're not immune. This platform is not immune. I'm not immune.
And this is because he was on the ground there?
He was standing outside the Capitol, reporting.
They have press credentials, though, didn't they? Remember, they had their tent set up next to all the major networks and that
doesn't matter.
Lookout area.
You know, you're making too much sense. You've got to be silenced. You're making too much sense. Yes. But this is payback for a bigger part of what he and InfoWars did. Oh, remember him taking Sanjay Punjab, whatever his name is, from Punjab or whatever the guy's name is. Remember him calling him a liar and Alex Jones doing the same thing. And Alex Jones wasn't there, but Owen Schroyer was. This is a big payback. And you know, I'm telling you right now, if it's not this, it'll be something else. If it's not this, it'll be the jab. If it's not this, it'll be whatever. And Steve Quayle is right when he says, look, we don't know how long we're going to be on the air. We may be off the air tomorrow. Who knows? Oh, by the way, John Moore, we had some technical difficulties. That's why John Moore wasn't on today. But, you know, folks, stop it already, okay? We have scheduling issues with certain people. So if you don't see somebody on the air for a while, it's not because of any problem. It's because of scheduling issues or some other issue, like today with John Moore. So don't read into things. Grow up. Read your own mail. All right. But let's take a listen to what Owen Schroyer is talking about, because this is how they silence dissent. They take away your platform. They take away your ability to pay your legal bills. Oh, are we familiar with that? Legal bills. And they take away your voice. Go ahead. Listen to Owen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Owen Schroyer here from InfoWars.com, and I wanted to give you a quick update here on this Sunday afternoon. It's about to go on 2 o'clock here in a couple minutes, about my legal case with the arrest warrant that has been making all the news on Friday, and then the GoFundMe page, which many of you had donated to and then disappeared. So I'm just going to give a quick update. First, let me address that. We had a GoFundMe account, very little time to schedule or plan any of this when they release these documents on a Friday, right before the weekend. But we were able to get a GoFundMe account up and running Saturday morning, and it reached, I think, $23,000 within a few hours. GoFundMe then sent me an email suspended my account, said it was under review, and I had to just address these three things in my account. They gave me a bullet point of three things I needed to address. I addressed them. They said they'd review it. And then they just said, no, you're not allowed to do any crowdfunding. So that's a pretty amazing precedent. I didn't violate any laws. They claim that I, you know, violated the terms and conditions, but it was very ambiguous. But that's not even the point. Anybody can go on there and start a legal fund. It's been done hundreds of times. But I'm not allowed to. I'm not allowed to crowdfund. And we talked to people who are really smart at GoFundMes and had run successful GoFundMe campaigns to make sure that we built the infrastructure right so that they couldn't have any reasons to take it down. And, of course, it didn't matter. They still took it down. So it was taking off for this huge legal defense that I'm going to have to mount against the federal government. And they took it down right when it was hot. A bunch of great people out there shared it, and I thank them so much for doing it. And then they took all that. So if you donated via GoFundMe, those funds, if they were ever even withdrawn, are going to be put back into your account. But that has been shut down. And I have been kicked off from crowdfunding on GoFundMe. So I started a Give, Send, Go account. Now the website is the same, defendowen.com. The website is the same, defendowen.com. You can go there and make your donation, and I think we should be good with Give, Send, Go. At least, in the meantime, that's where we will be crowdfunding for my legal defenses. So I had to put that together today. Now, I'm not going to say too much as far as the legal stuff is concerned right now, because I still need to talk to lawyers and figure a few things out. And I'm going to be live on the Alex Jones Show later this evening, and then hosting Sunday Night Live, so there'll be a little more there as well. But you know, I'm just going to point it, I'll put it like this. I think any legal mind or any fair observer or neutral observer looks at this arrest warrant and just scratches their head at how illegitimate it is. I'm obviously completely innocent of the charges. I have to tell you, you know, I've read the document obviously a number of times, and I'm reading it again before I go on here, and I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed. And what people are saying to me is like, it's like, well, I'll talk about it later tonight on the Alex Jones Show, but it seems that we're truly in uncharted waters, unprecedented territory when it comes to this stuff. And I'll have more on that coming up tonight on the Jones Show and on Sunday Night Live, which you can find at band.video. But I am innocent of the charges. Quite frankly, I'm confused. I'm confused at the allegations and the charges. And I'm going to go bit by bit and show what it is that they're claiming I did that I didn't do. And we have the entire body cam footage that shows that InfoWars and our crew never had any intentions to disrupt anything, never had any intentions for any violence, and were on record trying to stop that from happening. And you'll notice you don't see or hear from me much around the Capitol, because I'm just there as a journalist covering it. So when I'm down the streets doing a promo video talking about 1776, or I'm doing a report, out on the other side of the Capitol grounds, I'm there as a journalist. So is journalism illegal? I don't think so. So there was never any intent to disrupt anything. There was never any plan or coordination.
All right.
There was never any.
And folks, you can watch this, watch the entire clip at HagmanReport.com. The link will be in the program description box. I'm going to end this broadcast today by quoting Ronald Reagan a couple of times, actually, in a speech from October 27th, 1964. He said this, not too long ago, two friends of mine were talking to a Cuban refugee, a businessman who had escaped from Castro. And in the midst of his story, one of my friends turned to the other and said, "We don't know how lucky we are." And the Cuban stopped and he said, "How lucky you are. I had some place to escape to." In that one sentence, folks, he told us the entire story. If we lose freedom here, There's no place to escape to. America is the last stand on earth. And in that same speech, as I close this out, we are at war with the most dangerous enemy that we ever, that ever faced mankind. If we lose this way of freedom of ours, history will record with the greatest astonishment that those who had the most to lose did the least to prevent its happening. Profound. Folks, thank you so much for your tuning in. May God bless each and every one of you. Please stay safe. Say a prayer for the future of our country and for the days ahead. May God bless you. Have a good night.